Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's first reading, we read from the Book of Wisdom. Now notice how it begins. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Well, stop and think of that happening to you. The Lord appears to you in your dream and asks the same question. Ask something of me and I'll give it to you. So what would he ask for? Would it be something from this world? Lord, make me rich. Make me famous. Give me honor and respect from all the people in the world. Or would it be something spiritual? Lord, deepen my love and my faith in you. Well, however we answer that question will tell us a lot about ourselves. Now, appreciate the context in which this is set in. Solomon has just succeeded his dad, King David, as the new king of Israel. And God has appointed him to be that position. And he's a young man. He's talented. He has many gifts. But like all young people taking on a new job, there's some skepticism. They think to themselves, do I have what it takes to be a good king? Now realize, he's filling some very big shoes. His dad, King David, yes, we know all of his flaws, sure. But David, don't forget, was the greatest king of all of Israel in the entire history of Israel. King David ushered in what they call the Golden Age of Israel, in which under David, Israel became the political, the economic, and the military superpower of that region. Essentially, it became a very prosperous and a very powerful country. And so, yes, David was the greatest of all the kings of Israel. And so that's hard for the next person to take his place. And see, God knows that. That's why he wants to help Solomon. Now, you see this often in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, where God asks people this question. It was that great story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah essentially is passing the mantle of being a prophet to Elisha. And before Elijah ascends into heaven, he says to Elisha, essentially, ask God of anything, and he'll give it to you. Fast forward to the New Testament. Jesus essentially has blind Bartimaeus in front of him, and he says to him, "Okay, what do you want me to do for you?" So you see that often in the sacred scripture, God asking us this question. Now, how does Solomon answer? He says, "Give your servant an understanding heart so that I may be a good king." Well, God is very pleased with that answer, first and foremost, because Solomon is not thinking of himself. He's not thinking inwardly. Instead, he's thinking outwardly. He wants to be a faithful servant to God, but also he wants to be a good king and serve the people of Israel. And so God gives him wisdom, the great gift. And it says that Solomon is the wisest man in the whole world. In fact, no one in world history will be wiser than Solomon. But what is he really doing? Solomon is coming to a deeper life in God. And that's also what pleases God. Now realize and remember, one of the attributes of God is wisdom. God is pure wisdom. And so by asking for wisdom, Solomon is asking to have his life ordered to God. And through that wisdom, now he sees the world through the perspective of God. And so Solomon, with God's wisdom, he orders his life to God. See, now he will know what to do when anything comes his way as a king, because God is ordering and influencing all aspects of his life. Now, suppose Solomon becomes rich. Well, with his wisdom, he will know what to do with that wealth and how to, distribute it appropriately. Suppose Solomon conquers an enemy. Well, he will know how to treat that enemy according to God's plans and purposes. Suppose he's given a long life. Well, that's okay, because that life is ordered always to God. And so, in asking for that fundamental gift of wisdom, essentially, it enables God to direct all aspects of his life. And so, Solomon now is participating in a life with God, which is exactly what God wants for all of us. Now, suppose Solomon asked for something else. Say he asked, you know, fill my hull with riches, or for power, fame, whatever it may be, the goods of this world. Well, he wouldn't have the wisdom to know what to do with those things. And eventually those things would come around and destroy him because he lacks the wisdom of God. His life is not ordered to God and influenced by God. And therefore, he lacks that participation in God's life. So yes, the things of this world would eventually come around and destroy him. Now, we see that from time to time with Hollywood actors. We see that more with athletes, right? They sign these huge contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And because they lack wisdom, because they lack the wisdom of God, because their life is not ordered to God, they can't handle that wealth and that fame and all that fortune. And eventually it comes around and destroys them. That's why you see stories in which, you know, at the end of their life, they're destitute. They've blown all that money. And worse yet, they may be addicted to drugs or alcohol. Or even worse, they've committed suicide. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing bad about the goods of this world. But when we make them the center of our life, when our life is ordered around them, then yes, eventually they'll come around and destroy us. Now, go back to those examples that I gave, Elijah and Elisha. What does Elisha say in response? He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And so we all know Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. His life was deeply rooted in God, right? Well, Elisha wants the exact same thing. In fact, an even stronger relationship with God. Well, that pleases God. And because of that, Elisha, he now is given the gift of wisdom like Solomon and now participates in God's life. And so he now knows how to handle things that come his way, whether it's good or bad, because his life is ordered always to God. Now go back to blind Bartimaeus. His answer to Jesus, I want to see, but not just physically see, spiritually see, that Jesus truly is the Messiah and the Son of God. And he does. That's why at the very end of the story, it said, Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. St. John Chrysostom once said, to be holy is to see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Well, we have that vision and we have that wisdom. Therefore, we can handle anything that the world throws at us because our life is ordered to God. Now, that's a great segue into the gospel. Once again, we're reading from chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. We have been for the past 3 weeks. Jesus, again, is teaching us about the kingdom of God. And he's using parables, as always. So the parables for today, the parable of the field with the treasure in it, but also the parable of the pearl. Now, it's interesting to note, the kingdom of God is the most valuable possession in this entire world, but also it requires a single-minded response on our part. You know, once we see that kingdom of God, the participation in the life with God, we got to drop everything and we got to grab it. That's why you see in this parable, when the person finds the treasure or they find that valuable pearl, they drop everything. And with a single-minded devotion, they respond immediately to it. They don't dawdle. Well, think about it. We possess wisdom. It began with baptism and through subsequent sacraments, we now essentially have been given the wisdom and the vision of God. And now God gives us the greatest possession, participation in his life. And so, yes, it demands a high price. What's the greatest possession that we have? It's not our house, our cars, stock portfolio, no. It's the gift of our own life. See, there you see that communion of life again between us and God. God wants nothing more to give us the greatest possession, participation in his life. And in doing so, we respond by turning our life over to God. You know, you see that every time we come for Mass. When we come for communion, there's that communion of life in the context of a sacred meal. Jesus offers us his body and his blood. And in response to that, we offer ourselves over to God in service to God and others in this world. And so, yes, it demands the highest price possible. Now, what's the potential temptation? Maybe the potential problem. We're waiting for a discount, right? We're waiting for a sale. What does it mean? Well, we want to give ourselves over to God, sure, but we want to hold something back. We basically are saying to God, you know, I'll practice my faith, but I'll do it when I want to, how I want to, when it's convenient for me. Basically, the message we're saying to God, you know, there's something else out there in the world, but as soon as I get it, I'll come back and I'll start practicing my faith. That can't be for us. What Jesus is really telling us, the kingdom of God is ordering our life to whom we are created by and to the image to whom we are all created in, God and God alone. And see, that's why God wants to offer the greatest possible possession we have in this world. In fact, it's not even of this world. It's of the next world, heaven. Participation in the life of God. And so, yes, it demands the highest price, the highest possession we have, the gift of our lives. And in doing so, now, we have a communion of life with God, which is exactly what Jesus and Solomon are trying to teach us this weekend. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.